There's a lot of random in our songs, writing, thinking, letting others think of bits, then bang, you have the jigsaw puzzle. That was a direct quote from Paul McCartney. For the past several weeks, the eyes of many have left the troubles of the world to unscramble what may be the most fantastic hoax ever conceived by man. Is Paul McCartney really dead? The opinion of WAKY's management that it is our responsibility to present this special program. The Beatle mystery has caused a tremendous furor among people of all ages. But to suppress this information would be to ignore our obligation to the general public we serve. Responsible broadcasters throughout the nation are coming forth to present the facts and report the results of this terrifically complicated and involved investigation. WAKY is not convinced that Paul McCartney is dead or even ill. In fact, we believe him to be alive. But the question, why did the Beatles start this mystery, must be answered. It is to this end that this program is being aired. For the next half hour or so, WAKY will present the final analysis of days and many man-hours of research by many people. WAKY does not wish to make you believe that Paul McCartney is dead. It is our belief that he is alive. We merely want to state the results of our research so that you may draw your own conclusions. We will explore to great extent the rumors prompting the world to believe that perhaps indeed Paul McCartney really is dead and is being impersonated by a lookalike. The major problem that WAKY ran into while researching the many rumors is the fact that one rumor leads to another and still another until one reaches a point of near confusion. One is led to wonder whether or not Paul is either physically dead or symbolically dead for spiritual reasons. In the event that you do not know where the basis of the death rumors lie, let us start at the beginning. Let's clarify what we are going to do. First and foremost, we're going to tell you how the story became known. Secondly, the complete or mostly complete rumor in its entirety. Remember, this is a theory, an educated guess, not necessarily pure fact. It is a whole taken from the sum of a few of its parts. Obviously, not all facts are yet known. Louisville as a whole became aware of the rumor when the Big 79 began asking our listeners if they themselves had heard the rumors. And if so, what were they? WAKY was made aware of the mystery by listener phone calls, plus a letter we received from WKNR Radio in Detroit. The letter explained that rumors were sweeping not only the nation, but the world, that Paul McCartney was dead. The following quote comes from a newspaper article written for the Michigan State News in East Lansing. Mr. Labor was originally assigned to review Abbey Road, the Beatles' latest album, for the Daily. While extensively researching Abbey Road's background, however, he chanced upon a startling string of coincidences which put him on the trail of something much more significant. He wishes to thank WKNR-FM, Louise Harrison Caldwell, and George Martin's illegitimate daughter, Marion, for their help. Mr. Labor says it's all true, says the quote from Michigan State's newspaper. Thus began the rumor that was heard around the world. The George Martin referred to in the editor's note is the man who has produced the vast majority of Beatle releases. He is rumored to be one of five people who know the truth or falseness of the McCartney death rumor. Again, another rumor tied to still another rumor. The following is a synopsis of the article written by Mr. Fred Labor for the Michigan Daily. Paul McCartney was killed in a one-car accident in November of 1966. He had just left EMI Recording Studios, where he was working on a forthcoming album entitled Smile. Paul had left the studio quite upset due to some bickering within the group. He sped away on that rainy, chilly night and was found 4 hours later, pinned under his car in a culvert. He had been partially decapitated. This was the beginning of the greatest hoax of our time and the subsequent founding of a new religion based upon Paul as the Messiah. But for the sake of religious records, the Beatles had no premonitions of Paul's death. When the remaining Beatles learned of the untimely accident, they immediately called a conference with George Martin, their producer, and agreed to keep the story from the public just as long as possible. George Harrison was called on to bury Paul, and Ringo was to perform the services, while John went into seclusion for 3 days to meditate. After his meditation period, John called another meeting of the group, again including George Martin. The purpose of the meeting was to plan the groundwork for the ensuing hoax. Lennon's plan was to create a false Paul and to bring him into the group as if nothing had happened. They would then slowly release the information of the real Paul's death to the world via clues very cleverly hidden within their records. The plan was adopted and the work began. Their manager, Brian Epstein, was informed of the plan and he threatened to expose the group. But he mysteriously died, leaving only five men who knew the real secret. From that date in 1966 to the present, hidden clues have been found in all of the Beatles' albums referring to death, most of which are directly related to Paul. The first album to contain hidden clues was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. The album Smile, that they were working on at the time of Paul's death, was scratched and eventually picked up by Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, and the title was changed to Smiley Smile. Wilson later paid tribute to Paul. The Beatles devoted all of their time to the Sgt. Pepper album, lacing both the cover and the lyrics with clues of Paul's death. The main theme of the cover of Sgt. Pepper is a funeral. The cover shows a group of mourners, most of which are famous persons who died violently. In the foreground is a casket, or at least a mound that could be contrived to look like a casket, with the letters P on it, and a left-handed bass guitar, which Paul was famous for. There are numerous death signs on the cover, again, most of which point directly to Paul. One of the prominent figures on the cover is a bust of a man wearing a clerical collar, thus hinting that perhaps this is Father McKenzie from the song Eleanor Rigby.
Father McKenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear.
In this, Father McKenzie becomes Ringo, who performed the graveside service for Paul, as public and press were kept unaware of the death.
Father McKenzie, wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave. No one was saved.
This time, Father McKenzie could be interpreted to be symbolic of George, who officiated as grave digger. This same symbolism is carried from 1967 to the latest release of the Beatles' Abbey Road, where Ringo is pictured as undertaker and George as a grave digger. Remembering that it was John who went into 3 days of meditation explains the reason why John is dressed as a religious figure. And the Abbey of Abbey Road refers to monks and divinity. Again, from the album Sgt. Pepper, the song A Day in the Life. The lyrics refer to an auto accident and the body being unrecognizable.
He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before. But he was really sure he was from the house of Lord.
a reference is made to the House of Lords, of which the Beatles were a member after being knighted by Queen Elizabeth. Again, this is tied to the Abbey Road album. In the background, just beyond the Beatles, is a police hearse used only in times of death to a member of the House of Lords. All you need is love. The next album released by the Beatles was Magical Mystery Tour, which was filled with as many death signs as Sgt. Pepper, if not more. The Viking symbol for death is the walrus. During the period from 1966 to 1969, the Beatles make mention of the walrus three times. The first is in I Am the Walrus. I Am a Walrus was actually recorded by John. But why is John the Walrus when it is Paul that died? This is explained in 1969 from the Beatles album, the double album, when in the song Glass Onion, the Beatles sing, I told you about the walrus and me, man. You know that we're as close as can be, man. I told you about the walrus and me, man. We're as close as can be, man. John and Paul were very close throughout school and later life. It goes on to say, well, here's another clue for you all. Well, here's another clue for you all. The walrus was Paul. And finally, in Abbey Road, once again, the Beatles make reference to the walrus, thus making it a total of three times. There also seems to be some significance to the number three. The walrus is referred to three times. There are a series of dots on Abbey Road just before the plaque reading The Beatles. When connected, form the number three. And in Come Together from Abbey Road, they say, he said, one and one and one is three. That makes a total of three threes, which is nine, which could point toward Revolution number nine on the Beatles album. On that particular song, number nine, played backwards, plainly says, turn me on, dead man. However, the human voice alone will not come out, turn me on, dead man, when reversed. As if that weren't enough, in Strawberry Fields Forever, a song written just after the decision to replace Paul and fool the world, there is a phrase at the end of the song that is audible as saying, I buried Paul. Let's listen to that one more time. Now, let's look at some visual clues. On the inside of the cover of the fake Paul's left arm is a patch reading OPD, which is a symbol used in England similar to DOA, meaning officially pronounced dead. The medal on his left chest is given by the British Army for heroic death. On the back cover, his back is turned to us while the others face us. These are all on Sgt. Pepper. Now, turning to Magical Mystery Tour. Strawberry Fields was eventually put into Magical Mystery Tour, an album and film chock full of reference to the rainy, tragic night. Lennon's research on death in various cultures can be seen in the tour. The constant appearance of a hand behind Paul's head, a symbol of mystics of death. Clues in the album Magical Mystery Tour, page 3, poster says, I, you, was. Page 5, appearance of surgeons and policemen who would be involved in a car crash. Page 10 and 13, Paul wears black trousers and no shoes as in burial. Page 13, empty shoes, a Grecian symbol of death, appear next to Ringo's drums. Page 23, Paul wears black rose, others wear red. The songs, again, are important. Magical Mystery Tour implies the hoax in its entirety and marks Lennon's developing suspicion that the plot is out of hand. They are dying to take us away. The fool on the hill sits perfectly still, as though dead, and grins a dead man's grin. On Blue Jay Way, Harrison, wrapped up in Eastern symbolism and religious fervor, implores Paul to resurrect himself before very long, implying for the first time realization of the essentially religious nature of the plot.
Number nine, number nine, number nine.
The album The Beatles, the double album, makes use of a white cover indicating Lennon's further adoption of a godlike image and an ever-increasing sense of the value of purity to the purpose of the plot. The collage. Paul in the water, in the upper left-hand corner, the top of his head is invisible. The middle right side snapshot of Paul with head missing. Dear Prudence. John called McCartney Prudence in the old days when they were called the Nurk twins. Nearly every song has obvious reference to the hoax. Revolution number nine.
Number nine, number nine, number nine.
This sound collage is nearly the whole story. Besides the chaos, it contains the religious absolution. Take this, brother, may it serve you well.
Number nine, number nine.
And of course, the now nearly famous backward beginning. Number nine, reversed, which is Turn Me On, Dead Man.
Number nine. Number nine.
Turn Me On, Dead Man.
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 Number nine.
For time reasons, we will not play Revolution Number Nine in its entirety. We invite you to listen to it. It's on the Beatle double album. But here's another thought, another clue. At the end of the Revolution Number Nine cut, you hear... Hold that line. Block that kick. And on the cover of the Sgt. Pepper album, in the midst of the flowery Beatle sign, which could possibly be the coffin, you find a trophy with a football. What does it mean?
You're gonna carry that way.
Abbey Road, John Lennon, the anthropomorphic god, Ringo, the Undertaker, Paul, resurrected barefoot with a cigarette in right hand. He's originally left-handed. George, the gravedigger. They've just left the cemetery. Thus, Paul was resurrected, given a cigarette and let out of the tomb, thereby conquering death with a little help from his friends.
Oh, yeah! All right!
From Abbey Road, that was the cover. Some album music clues in the album Abbey Road, Maxwell's Silver Hammer, means tale of religious justice. Octopus Garden is a British naval slang word. Or phrase for English center where naval heroes are buried. The second side announces the principles on which the religion will be based. Beauty, humor, love, realism, objectivity. It is a religion for everyday life.
It's getting better all the time.
There are so many clues, so many dead ends. On the albums, in the songs, on the covers, in the foldouts. There is truly not enough time in 24 hours to go into anything but a broad explanation. With all sincerity, there is no one who can deny that the Beatles are anything but very intelligent men. To be able to carry a theme for 3 years without anyone figuring it out, and without actually telling us what the end results would be, is nothing short of sheer genius. The Beatles were first really recognized for their lyric and musical genius by the intellects, for they were the first to understand the mysterious web that John Lennon, Ringo Starr, George Harrison, and yes, Paul McCartney had spun and trapped the world into believing something that only they can answer with any certainty. And it would seem at present they are not ready to solve the puzzle. One of the most asked questions about the hoax that Mr. Labor describes is, who took the part of the new Paul? Mr. Labor explains that the Beatles had a look-alike contest as early as 1964, supposedly for the purpose of replacing the original Beatle in the event of his death. The person chosen to replace Paul is supposed to be William Campbell, an orphan from Edinburgh, Scotland. His picture is enclosed in the collage of photographs in the poster from the Beatles' double album. Is it possible? Is it possible? Who knows?
I read the news today, oh boy.
This investigation can be compared with trying to convict a murderer on circumstantial evidence. The entire investigation proved one of many points to the researchers, to all of us involved. That point being that with five people, you can get five interpretations. WAKY takes the stand that the Paul McCartney is alive and well. We feel that the references made to death are directly related to a spiritual death symbolizing a new era, A Hope by John Lennon and his Beatle compatriots. A New Era. An era that for the Beatles began with the Sgt. Pepper album that seemed to motivate the new generation into a new awareness of the world around us. Through the Beatles' extensive studies with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, it seemed to start it all. Their shared beliefs that the world of violence must die to make way for a peace without boundaries of race, creed, color, or religious beliefs gives hope to the world. Just as the Pilgrims left England to seek their own religious beliefs, the Beatles hope that through mysterious meanings they can get people the world over to stop and search for the true meaning of their own life rather than the rumors that are a halo of celebrities. For as the Beatles say in Revolution Number 9, take this, brother, and may it serve you well. Take their deeply hidden advice, and may it serve you well. The opinion of WAKY's management that it is our responsibility to present this special program. The Beatle mystery has caused a tremendous furor among people of all ages. But to suppress this information would be to ignore our obligation to the general public we serve. Responsible broadcasters throughout the nation are coming forth to present the facts and report the results of this terrifically complicated and involved investigation. WAKY is not convinced that Paul McCartney is dead or even ill. In fact, we believe him to be alive. But the question, why did the Beatles start this mystery, must be answered. It was to this end that this program was dedicated.